Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
All right, let's go right into the Word of God. I say that, but then I got a couple of announcements I need to make. Okay. Don't forget, you heard Kathy share about healing service this Wednesday night at 6:30. So come early, come expecting. Bring sick folk with you. Bring sick people with you. Bring them. They need a touch from God, and this will be a wonderful, miraculous time together. Also today, there'll be a benevolence offering at the door. We do that to try to help our own folks with. Sometimes our people need help with some things, and we try to help people with their needs. And so that's what every dollar helps. If you can give anything, don't be ashamed about the amount. Just anything helps to help us help our folks. Also, Brian Lowe's prophecy class. Brian, would you just stand up so people know who you are? Teaches a prophecy class. They're going to be meeting tonight at 6 p.m. instead of next Sunday because of Easter. So that's so that you be aware of that. Also, Rhea Voss, where are you, Rhea? You have some guests with you. Would you bring them up here with you? Mind coming up? We'd like to pray for a pastor and his wife. They're from the Ukraine, and we count it a privilege to have you here. Come on up, Pastor, and I haven't met you yet. Look forward to meeting you. Thank God that he brought you and your precious wife here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And you've got a dear friend in Rhea. Oh, my goodness. This is Rhea Voss, everybody. As you know, Rhea. Yeah, beautiful Rhea.
This is Pastor Peter Kovalenko and his wife, Valya. And they are from Kharkov, Ukraine. And they have a church in Kharkov, Ukraine.
Bless you, Pastor. Bless you. Wow.
It's great to have them here.
Well, how did you connect?
I made 14 trips to the Ukraine back in the 90s after the wall went down. With a friend, and so they came to visit me. I'm just so thankful, so wow. Grateful, because I haven't seen them for a long time.
What a blessing. Would you mind if our elders come up and lay hands on you both and pray for you? Come on up. Elders, would you come on up, and let's just gather around. Rhea, stay right here. Join in with us. We just count it a privilege for you. So, and if there's a prophetic word any one of you feel like you have to give, that's always an encouragement and edifying. So let's just be still for a moment and let's listen for the Lord. And then if you hear something, we share it. And if not, we just pray blessing. Okay. Church, you pray with us. You pray blessing.
I feel like the Lord was saying to me that you have strength for the journey ahead of you. And he has given you everything that you need to do all that he's called you to do. So you have the strength to continue on and the ability to continue on. And I just say thank you, Lord, that you're going to watch out for this couple. And Father God, that the angels of the Lord will be stationed around them and that they will do all that you've called them to do, that many will come to Jesus because of them. And I just bless them, God. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I want to add to that. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. So whatever you've been afraid of, don't fear. And Peter, you are a rock. You are a rock, and your wife looks to you to be a rock, and you are her rock, but Jesus is your rock. Hallelujah.
Trifonia felt like the Lord believes that we need to anoint this couple for, again, the new strength that he's giving you.
Refreshing.
The refreshing that he's going to help you to have.
Hallelujah.
We just bless him, Jesus.
More. God, increase. Hallelujah.
Increase their wineskin, God, for more. Flexibility. Pour in the new wine. It has to have a new wineskin. Refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. A fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. You don't live off yesterday's manna, yesterday's anointing. You have a fresh anointing. New things are coming your way. New adventures. Have a great expectation. A great anticipation of good. No longer dread the future. Expect good. It's coming. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you, Pastor. Pastor's wife. We thank God for you. Keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this is not a Palm Sunday message, but it is a Palm Sunday message because it's on Palm Sunday. So here we go. Fruit of the Spirit series. We're talking about the goodness of God today, the glory. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Of goodness.
Goodness.
You're about to have your doors blown off. In a good way. Moses, of all people in the Old Testament, had a very unique relationship with God. The Bible says he spoke to God as one face to face. That's pretty good. He spoke to God as if someone's face to face. But he never saw God in a physical form. Because right there in that same chapter where it talks about Moses spoke to God face to face, it says no one has seen God at any time. No one can see God's face and live. So what did Moses see when it says he spoke to God face? Well, it's just talking about his relationship. Metaphorically, when Moses would talk to God, God would talk back to him like a friendship. Had this wonderful, unique relationship with God. In fact, when people in the Bible saw a vision of the Father or vision of God, they didn't see God in a bodily form. They saw him in the brilliance of light. As bright as the sun staring at you, where you couldn't see any form, you saw light. Well, there was a pillar of fire at nighttime because it was dark. They'd see the glory of God in fire. When Abraham had the covenant, God made the covenant with Abraham. He put Abraham to sleep. Abraham had this dream. He saw a torch and fire lit and a smolt and a big fiery pot going through the covenant process. And then, of course, he met God in the burning bush. But so the point is, I want to say that Moses had a special relationship with God, and the closer that Moses got to God, the more he wanted to see. He didn't back up and say, "Whoa, I don't want any of that. I don't want to know. Whoa, that's too much for me. I can't handle that." No, he wanted to know more. Do you want to know God more? Well, the about 30% of you said, yes, you will. Do you want to know God more? That's why you're here, okay? I hope. You want to know God more. Well, the Bible says if you'll draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. But he won't come on your terms. He'll meet you in a way that sometimes may scare the daylights out of you. So here's Moses, and Moses is being bold and brave with God. And Moses says to God, "I pray that you show me your glory." That's a good prayer to pray right now. Why don't you just verbalize it out loud? Lord, I want to see your glory. Now, you may not know what you're asking for, but it's a good thing.
Let me see your glory. The word there in the Hebrew is kavod, which means weight, honor, splendor. Lord, let me see the, in essence, who you are. Let me see what your core is all about. This should be something that we're all asking God. Moses asked for it in the Old Testament. We ought to be asking for it on this side of the cross and saying, God, show me your glory. Whatever trial you're in, you should be saying, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory in this. Show me your splendor in this. Whatever your essence is, God, I want to know you, the real you. Show me your heart, the inner you. And the interesting thing about this is God's willing to do that. He didn't say, no, you're not able to handle that. God is willing to show his glory. Somebody ought to shout amen right there. Hallelujah. He's willing to do it. And then God said in Exodus 33:19, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord, which is the name Yahweh here. There's really no way to pronounce it. People have put in the vowels because there are no vowels. We don't know how it's pronounced. The unpronounceable personal private name of the Lord. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I'm going to show mercy. But I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you, Moses. The best of the best. God, Moses asked to see his glory, and God says, okay, here I am. I'm going to show you all. I'm going to let all my goodness pass by you. But this is going to be so weighty. This is going to be so good. This is going to be so great. I'm going to have to take you, Moses, and put you over here in the cleft of a rock. And I'm going to have to cover you with my hand while I pass by. Because my goodness is so powerful and so overwhelming that it would consume you. It would blow your doors off. It would probably kill you. It'd probably kill you. So I'm going to put you in a special place here, and I'm going to pass by. And then later on, we can read the rest of the context of the scripture in the next chapter as well. Moses was called up to meet with God early in the next morning to bring those tablets of stone. And there he met with God. He said, don't bring anybody else, just you. I want to meet with you. And he met with God there. And when he came down from the mountain, his face was shining. He didn't know it. He got back into camp and people said, what has happened to you? Have you been to Mary Kay again? What is that on your face? Your face is glowing. He said, man, I didn't know it. I had no... Your face is glowing. He put a veil over his face. His face was shining. The presence of God, the anointing of God, got on Moses. When you draw near to God, the anointing of God, it's on God, is going to get on you. It's going to get on you. In this case, his face was shining. God caused his goodness just to pass by him. God's causing his goodness to pass by you today. He's causing his goodness to pass by you. And his goodness is your radiance on your face. Now, the Bible tells us that there's no physical description of Jesus, who is God incarnate, in the Bible. I mean, other than in Isaiah, there's a scripture that says, you know, he has no form of comeliness. When we see him, there's no beauty. That, speaking prophetically, when Jesus, the Messiah, when the Son of God shows up in the flesh, it won't be that, boy, he's got blue eyes and flowing blonde hair or whatever. He won't look like Jim Caviezel. He'll be just a plain, ordinary looking guy. There's nothing about his physical features you'd say, oh, he's the Messiah. He looks like everybody else. So there's no physical description of Jesus in the Bible. Yet the Bible tells us what Jesus looks like with this scripture. In Hebrews 1:3, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Now, if the Son of God, the anointed Son of God, the anointed, Jesus Christ means anointed, if the Christ is anointed with the radiance of God's glory, what should the sons and daughters of God be? The Christians, the anointed ones, with the exact radiance of God's glory. Well, what's that going to look like? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus went about, in Acts 10:38, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. We are his church. We represent him on earth. We do not represent the church. We do not represent a denomination. We do not represent Grace Tabernacle. We represent the Lord, the Christ, the Anointed. We are representing him. We represent him. We represent him on earth. Our mission purpose statement, very clear. This is what I believe God told me plainly. This is your mission, true mission purpose statement, is to present Jesus, the revelation of truth and grace that transforms lives. You're not here presenting yourself. You're not promoting yourself. You're not here presenting the church and trying to promote the church. You present Jesus. God take care of all that other stuff. You are here presenting Jesus. So God has presented Jesus to us. How many of you would say, I am born from above by his Spirit because God presented Jesus to me through the gospel. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Just raise your hand if that's you. All right. Your assignment, Mr. Phelps, just whether you decide to accept it or not, is this. You are here now to, you're re-presenting Jesus. He was presented to you. Now you are re-presenting him. Are you with me? That's your assignment. That's my assignment. Everything we do. Your assignment may be a little bit different here, where God takes you, what he does with you, people you meet, things that happen in your life. But this is ultimately our assignment. We should be asking him, okay, God, what's my purpose in life? Your purpose in life. What's my purpose, God? What's my purpose? We should be asking that question. And when we ask that question, we have to understand, we're not asking specifically about your destiny. We're not asking specifically about things, specific things what we're to do. Our purpose is to be a proper, accurate representing or reflection of the anointing of Jesus, the glory of God. The Bible says creation right now groans. The earth groans, creation groans for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God, Romans 8:22. Creation knows. Creation recognized Jesus when he walked on the earth. Creation recognized him before anybody else did. Creation recognized Jesus when he was born as a little baby. Creation recognized Jesus as the anointed of God before Jesus walked on the water. Creation recognized Jesus as the anointing and was happy about it, rejoiced in the fact that finally the Son of God is here. Finally, the anointing of God, this is what we're created for. We're dirt and we were created to carry his feet, or whether it be water. Water hardened up and Jesus walked on the water. Water said, hey, we're glad to oblige you. You're the Son of God. A donkey showed up on Palm Sunday when he needed it because, hey, I'm glad to oblige. That's what I was created for. I'm here to carry your glory. I'm here to serve your purposes. Creation has always been groaning and is still groaning for the manifestation now of the sons and daughters of God. Someone said, even water longs to be walked on again. Oh, would you do that again? Would there be a son or daughter that would a God that would finally rise up and take the authority and do that again? We're here to make a supernatural difference in this world and manifest God and his anointing and his glory to the world. My assignment from God is to have the understanding that this is my purpose. I have an assignment from God upon my life. Part of it is preaching to you on Sunday. But the overall arching assignment of God is to represent Jesus in my neighborhood, at the hardware store, at Publix or Walmart, wherever I'm going, to represent him. Not just do what I think I can do, but to trust his anointing in me to do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If you literally break that down, to me it was surprising to understand this week that that word Christ, of course, it means anointed, anointing. You could say it this week. You could say it this way. I can do all things through the anointing that strengthens me. I don't do what I do by my own strength because I run out. I do it by the anointing. The assignment that God has given me comes with the equipment that I need to accomplish it. And the provision I need. Whatever I need to accomplish the calling of God upon my life has been provided, and I find it in the anointing of the Spirit of God. Now, when we realize that this is our assignment on earth, it makes better sense of life when bad things happen to you. Bad things do happen to good people. Bad things happen in Christians' lives. The devil is going to try to stop you any way he possibly can because of the anointing on your life and the assignment on your life. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to have people talk bad about you. He's going to have bad things happen in your life. Things break down. And that's oppression that's coming from the enemy. Sickness attacking your body is oppression from the enemy. So regardless of what the devil does, our part is to stay focused on God, walk with him through whatever the trial is, have confidence in God. Whatever the enemy has planned, you already declare ahead of time, because of God's glory, because of God's nature, because of God's goodness, that good's going to come out of it somehow eventually. That was pretty pitiful. Would you like to just give God, I mean, right now, whatever trials you're facing, or maybe everything's good, but you know trials are coming. Would you just at least give God a little golf clap in advance, thanking him in advance? We appreciate it. We're grateful. You know, we're thankful, God, you put it in your book for us to read. We're really thankful that you put it in the book here for us to read, that we know all things work together for good, for them to love God. So we just thank you ahead of time. Little golf clap. Every once in a while, just stop in the middle of the day. Just give God a little golf clap. Hey, I appreciate it. I'm in the midst of a trial. I don't know where it's going to go and how it's going to turn out yet, but I just know in the end it's going to be good. And I just, hallelujah, hallelujah. Little golf clap. God, I thank you. Appreciate you. This is why we give God thanks in all things. This is why we rejoice in the Lord always. We're already in anticipation. Something good's coming. We can't escape the goodness of God. You can't escape the goodness. The Bible says it's his kindness or his goodness that leads you to repentance. You can't escape it. God is relentlessly good, and he'll chase you down with his goodness. I need three victims. I mean volunteers. Would you three right here, you're on the front row, would you put your stuff aside? Now, just follow me, okay? And be here to help me should anything happen, okay? Okay. Just follow me, okay? Come on. Yeah. Oh, I feel kind of, oh. Oh, hey, you're, oh, thank you, Lord. And I feel like I'm going to faint. Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay, good. Whew. Okay, all right. Thank you. Oh, my. Woo! All right. Oh, I'm glad you're in shape. Now, what has just happened? What has happened? Goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. Well, surely goodness and mercy follow me. Oh, wait. Here's goodness, mercy. You must be Shirley. Thank you. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of... Why is that in the Bible? For you to say it. For you to believe it. For you to declare it. We're to anticipate that we're going to experience the goodness of God, which is His best, His glory. And then this, because you have to anticipate. If you don't believe this, then when bad things happen, you get into dread mode. Dread. Oh, I can't help. I hate going through this. I don't want to go to work today. I don't want to think about what's going to happen. You get in dread mode. We're to anticipate. The goodness of God will show up eventually. When David was a young boy, he was prophesied over by Samuel the prophet that he would be the next king of Israel. Man, that must have been someday in his house. His brothers, his father heard it. They anointed him with oil. Samuel anointed him with oil and told him, I prophesy over you, you're going to be the next king. Well, at that time, King Saul was king. What did they do after that? David, get back out there and work with the sheep. He'd just been anointed the next king. Go back out there and take care of the sheep. And for about the next 15, maybe 20 years, this man who is anointed to be the next king is a fugitive, running for his life. And a madman named King Saul was after him to kill him. He'd been anointed king for the next 15, 20 years. He's on the run, afraid for his life. There must have been some times in David's life when he sat out there with the sheep and saying, "Now, God, what in the world? You sent Samuel the prophet, and he prophesied him, I'm going to be the king. And I'm out here. I have to run from my life. I have to hide out. I can't even go and visit my relatives for being found out. I'm running from my life. God, what is going on?" Sure, he must have been depressed at times. Sure, he must have been disappointed. Can I get a witness from anybody who, if I have all this good prophesied and destiny about my life, and I have all these prophecies in these scriptures that I believe God's told me, then why is this happening to me? Has anybody else been here, been perplexed like me before? And then under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David wrote these words, Psalm 27:13. I would have fainted. I would have given up. I'd have cashed in all my chips and gone, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God when I get to heaven. Now, in the land of the living. Are you paying attention? I would not have made it. I wouldn't have made it this far. I wouldn't have existed. I wouldn't have been able to handle all the fiery darts of the enemy unless I had, past tense, already made up my mind and I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living now. Because I know goodness and mercy follows me. I made up my mind. We know all things work together for good. I would have fainted. Have you ever seen, and don't get on your phone and Google it now, look it up later, write it down. Have you ever seen fainting goats? Oh, that's hilarious. Fainting goats, it's a real thing. They're called myotomic or something like that, goats. And they don't actually faint. When they get startled, you can go up to them and say, "Boop!" And they will fall over like a wooden soldier. I mean, that fast. They don't go unconscious. It's that the fear paralyzes their muscles for a moment, and they go, and they fall over. They're not unconscious. It only lasts for a few seconds, and they shake it off, and they get up. Fainting goats, it's a real thing. I was going to bring you a clip to show you, but you'd have broke out in laughter so much. You just go do that later for a good laugh, okay? You're not a goat, but we don't want any fainting sheep either. You get startled. You get afraid. Then you fall over. Christians who see the goodness of God and expect it ahead of time, like David, when he wrote that down for us to use, they won't faint. Bad things still happen. Trials, we don't know why some things happen. We go through stuff. But Christians who fail to be looking for the goodness of God, they quit looking for it. They say, well, it ain't ever going to get any better. You just cursed yourself. Well, I don't expect it to get any better. Well, you just cursed yourself. You just spoke what you really believed in your heart. Christians who fail to see and be anticipating and looking for the goodness of God will fall in unbelief, and they'll fall into doubt, and they'll fall into skepticism. And that's what they look like. The goodness of God is present everywhere. That's why James said you ought to already anticipate that whenever you encounter a various trial, my brethren, count it all joy. You're going to run into the goodness of God somewhere. You may not see it yet. You may not feel it. You may not think you're experiencing it yet. But just count it joy ahead of time. Anticipate running into the goodness of God. Let's say you're in a crowd of people, and you were supposed to meet a person there at a certain spot, and it's like Disney World, you know, it's covered with thousands of people. And you go over there by It's a Small World, and you're looking for this person you're supposed to meet. You don't have a cell phone, and you know what they look like. They know what you're looking like. And so you're looking through the sea of faces. Where are they? You're ignoring every face until you see. There you are. There you are. There you are right there. Hey, you spot them, you see. That's what you got to do with the goodness of God. You got to be looking for it. Well, it's not there. There it is. There it is. Look for it. You got to look for it, and you got to stay focused on that, and don't let all this other stuff distract you. In fact, the goodness of God was already planted in the earth. I know the earth is cursed because of the fall, but the goodness of God is planted in the earth at creation. It's planted. It's here. Even though there is a curse, there's still goodness here. The first time goodness is mentioned in the Bible is at the end of every day that God created. And he often repeated this phrase, and God saw that it was good. He made this, and God saw that it was good. And God made this, and the next day, and he said, and God saw that it was good. I'm telling you, goodness is already planted underneath your feet. It's a crop that is coming up without your notice. All you need to do is start paying attention. All you need to do is start noticing it, because it was in the midst of disorder. It was in the midst of when the world was in, and all of the universe was in chaos. It was in the midst of total darkness that God himself demonstrated his goodness. He planted goodness with his words. He said, I saw that it was good. He planted goodness in the midst of chaos and darkness, and his goodness changed the atmosphere of the whole universe. It changed everything that was chaotic. He brought it into order. His goodness did that. He saw that it was good. Now, I know there's a lot of evil in this world, but you don't focus on the evil. There's a lot more goodness of God than there is evil. Because you're here. You're here. And your presence makes a difference. You may not think so, but your presence makes a difference in this whole world. It makes a difference where you work. It makes a difference in your school. It makes a difference wherever you go. The goodness of God is in you. His nature is goodness, and his nature, his spirit is in you. His DNA is in you, and his goodness is in you. And wherever you go, you're going to make sure that the atmosphere is changed, because now you're here. One person can make a whole different change, a whole atmosphere. And maybe you don't say, maybe it's just your smile. Maybe it's just a song you keep in your heart. Maybe it's just a spring you got in your step. I don't know, but there's something in you that's from God. It's his goodness, that is his glory, that's going to be manifested wherever you go, because you got him and he's got you. But you got to look for it. Notice this scripture. Taste, come on, say it with me. Taste, see. What do you do first? Do you see first or you taste first? Taste is a personal experience. I cannot taste the food for you. You have to taste the food. I can't taste, and I can tell you, boy, this is really good, key lime pie. Woohoo! Wow, it's really good. And you can say, how good is it? I say, it's very good. Well, tell me, come on, give me some more. I need to know. No, you can taste it for yourself. And then you see. You don't see, then you taste. You taste it first. You experience it for yourself. And then you see. When Pam and I were just dating over in Daytona Beach, and we just teened out, I was 18, 19 years old. She's just a teenager. I wanted to impress her, you know. So she thought I had a lot of money. But I know it's deception. I never told her I didn't have a lot of money. But boy, I every paycheck I had, I mean, went out the door. I just flashed that money like it was nothing. Well, one night I decided I was trying to win her over, you know. And I said, I want to take you out to the fanciest restaurant in town. So we took her. Back then, it was a place called Top of the Boardwalk, but that was back in its heyday. You go all the way up to top of the rest, and you oversee the ocean and all that kind of stuff. And the waiters are wearing, you know, the white vests, and men and women waiters and waitresses. So I said, I'm going to really impress her tonight. So we're going to get the most pricey. What was that thing we got? The flaming thing at the table and all that? Some kind of steak was on fire. I don't know, but it was a burnt offering, but it was good. So I was going to order that. You know, I already made up my mind. And before we went out, now I got this magazine, and I read about wine tasting, you know. So I'm going to show her I'm a man of the world. I'm a man of means. And I read about how you're supposed to, you know, if you really want to be a wine, like you're an expert in wine tasting, then there's certain things you do, you know. So I read all that and had that all in my head. You know. So we get there to the restaurant, you know, and I ordered, of course, for her. This is what we're going to have, and being a gentleman. And then I said, then we would like a bottle of wine, please. And he said, well, what kind of wine did you want? You know, I couldn't pronounce the names. I said, well, let me try a little bit of that right there. And he brought, you know, came back and brought, he popped the cork. You know, pop the cork, and you lay the cork down, and you're supposed to, if you're an expert, you're supposed to take the cork and you're supposed to twist it, you know, make sure it's not dry. Of course, I did that. You smell the cork. He pours a little sample, you know, in the bottle, in the glass. You swirl it around. That'll be fine. Guy, you know, and Pam's going like, wow, I've never been with a man before. Like, wow, the man of the world. I didn't have a clue what was going on. But you know, you had to do all that kind of stuff. And my whole point to telling you that ridiculous story is that, you know, you had to taste the wine and experience it. You have to taste the goodness of God. You have to savor it. You have to pick up on that it's here. It's already here. It's around you. It's underneath your feet. It's above your head. It's going to hear. Yeah, you got trials and yeah, you got troubles. I'm not trying to diminish your problems. But what I'm trying to tell you is that now start looking for the good because it's all around you. It's all around you. And so tasting is a personal experience. I can't taste for you. You're going to have to taste and see yourself. For example, when you hear about being born from above or born again, yet you don't understand it. But after you experience it, well, then you understand it. And you can say, well, this is what it was. This is what it was for me. Or baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or speaking in tongues. Or being healed. Like Wednesday night service, or delivered from demons, or whatever. You know, you can't really know what it's like till you experience it. I want you to know that the good, good Father has already put inside each and every one of us some good desires that He wants to accomplish through your life. And it just comes as a desire. You know, the Bible even says in preaching, that was one of the ways I found out that I was called to preach, was it says, if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. And bishop means, you know, spiritual overseer. And as my insight came when a guy shared with me that I had the desire, and I was waiting for some dramatic calling out here, you know, a lightning bolt or an angel or something, and none of that happened. And the guy pointed out to me, do you have that desire? Well, that's not a natural desire. That's a God-given desire. God's already given you that. Through your desires, not every desire, not every good desire. You have to discern and go through, and God will help you through the Holy Spirit. Figure out, what desire am I supposed to take action on? You know, we have a real desire and a passion and a compassion for waitresses. When we go out to eat, we usually are praying and asking God, now, Lord, is there a word you want us to give? Is there anything you want us to do for them? And many times it's not a word. Sometimes it is. But many times it is, I just want you to bless them today. And I've learned to pay attention to my wife sometimes, because we'll be sitting out at a restaurant somewhere and she'll look over and she'll see somebody eating or a young family or something. And she's, you know, I really believe God wants us to pay for their meal. And I go, oh, no, not again. No, I mean, I've learned not to do that. But see, I'm learning that he places desires in us to do things, and we can't sit around on our hands. You say, well, how do you know that's really God? Well, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you don't know until afterwards. There have been many times I wished, you know, I had responded to that impression to do good to somebody, and I didn't, because I was more concerned about what I was going to lose, or maybe I didn't have enough. And then there have been times where I have acted and done things and then later realized that really wasn't God. That was just my human emotion. It's one of those trial and error things. You learn. You learn by experience how God is leading you. But here's one thing I want you to know. And that is, you, if you're a Christian, born again, you have been already given the goodness of God in your life as a deposit. And there's plenty of it to give away to people without you not having enough. Even if you make a mistake. Even if, you know, there are times we go out to eat and just had just a little measly little meal, you know, less than $20 or something, believe it or not. And then it's like the Lord impresses upon it, well, give that waitress a $20 tip. More than the meal or whatever, you know. Or a $50 tip. A $100 tip. I'm learning not to question God. I said, now, Lord, you know, if I mess up and I get it wrong. And He says, well, who's your bank? Like that commercial, He says, what's in your wallet? You, Lord, you can have it here. Whatever you say. Who pays the bills around here? You do. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You do. So you got to understand something. You're born again. You're anointed with the glory of God, which is His goodness already. You already have it. Psalm 23 says, He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, I've already drank water out of this bottle. And when I picked it up this morning, it wasn't full, but it was full according to the manufacturer. The manufacturer said, it's a full bottle of water and we sell it. So the water was about really up to there. But in actuality, it wasn't full. Now, if I had another bottle of water and I filled it up all the way right there to that right there, would it be full? Answer, wrong. It's not full until it overflows. No. If it ain't overflowing, then there's, you may not be able to see it, but there's still something there holding the water back. He anoints my head with oil, my cup. Now, it's an absolute necessity for me to properly represent Jesus that I be a spirit-filled Christian. Spirit-filled. Sometimes people try to say spirit-filled and put a label on it as meaning, well, you speak in tongues, or you do this, or you do that. Well, I understand all that, but that's not technically what it talks about. To really be filled with the Spirit is not talking about something that happened to you years ago, some experience you had, or that you can speak in tongues and do it. That's all wonderful and good, and that's, I'm not diminishing any of that. I believe in all of that. But to have to be Spirit-filled means that right now you're overflowing. You're spilling over, and what's in you is spilling over to the someone next to you and your atmosphere, and it's spilling over because of the anointing. We have more than enough to fulfill our assignment here. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. We are only filled with the Spirit when we're overflowing. It is not by what I contain, but what flows from me now. Now. Faith is now. Not some past experience. Since God's glory is His goodness, and His goodness is then what will flow from me when I'm filled with the Spirit. It'll just flow. It doesn't matter who it is, but it'll flow on them. And as a recipient of God's goodness, ladies and gentlemen, I owe you. I owe you a person who's filled with the Spirit. I owe you this. I owe a debt to you. I owe a debt to my neighbors. I owe a debt to this community. I owe a debt to the next person I run into face to face. I owe people an opportunity to experience the goodness of God when they meet me. It's good news that we preach. You're born again. Raise your hand. You're a preacher. You're a preacher. You're a preacher. How will they call on Him whom they've not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? You're a preacher. Well, say, I'm not ordained. You need a piece of paper to tell you that. Come up here. I'll write it on a piece of paper. You're ordained, and I'll give it to you. There you go. Hang it on the wall. You're ordained. You're ordained by the anointing, the Spirit of God. You don't have to necessarily preach behind a pulpit. You don't have to have a church. You're preaching the good news. And you have to be good news before you can give good news. Don't mistake a preacher for someone behind a pulpit. The best preachers are people who are representing Jesus. That's you. Tag, you're it. We're going to dismiss here in just a minute. I know you think I'm preaching a long time. I got a handful of people that'll stay if I preach all afternoon. Everybody else go out to eat and have a good time. But you're hardcore. You're hardcore. But you're it. And we're going to dismiss here, and you're on assignment. You're looking for the good, and you're looking to pour out goodness. And pour it out, and pour it out, and pour it out. The world needs to see it. Someone said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Not that you shouldn't use words, we need to. But the Bible also says, so as we have opportunity, as we have opportunity, next slide, please. As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to the household of faith. When you have an opportunity to do good, look at that and say, now, God, is this my assignment? It's my desire? It's your desire? So let's go for it. Let's bless them. Let's help them. Let's give to them. Let's surprise them. Let me give a word to them, whatever it may be. And the anointing that God will put in your heart is from Him, and it will be to do good to somebody before you lay your head on your pillow tonight, you'll have multiple assignments if you'll pay attention. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your word. It will not return void. Thank you for the healing service for Wednesday night. We're in great anticipation of good things. Thank you for your people who are here on assignment in this area, in this part of the country, in this state, in this county. They're here on assignment, put here by you. You place their feet here. They could be anywhere. You put them here today. Thank you for our visitors. You put them here today because you spoke a word into them today just to give them life. Thank you, God, for the folks that are faithful here. You put them here today because it's a word for them today. This is something they need now. This is something they're going to need this week. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Altar workers, you come on up here and be with me. Listen, if you're here today, and first of all, if you haven't received Christ as Lord and Savior, there needs to be a time in your life where you believe that Jesus is Lord. He is God. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. That's the only way you'll ever be made right with God. And it's a gift that God offers you, but you have to receive that by faith. If you've never done that, any one of these altar workers or myself would be glad to share with you what the Word says. No pressure, but you decide to either accept or reject Jesus. If you've never done it, receive Him today. Rest of you, majority of you said, I'm a believer. Well, praise God. I'm born again. Praise God. You have an assignment on your life. You cannot afford to miss it. There are people right now that are crying out to God, begging God to send them somebody who can help them. Somebody will give them a word. Somebody will give them encouragement. It could be you. Yesterday, I was at a building, a supply place, and I met a man who he was helpful. He was working with me to get the materials I needed. And out of the blue, he just started telling me some of his problems. His wife's confined to bed. He was raised without a father. His father abandoned him. I mean, I'm just sitting there going, wow, it's an open door. I listened to him, and within 3 minutes, he didn't tell me a lot of bad things that happened to his life. And I said, well, you know what? It's a good day for you. God sent me here today to encourage you.
Thank you.
That he knows all about it. And I talked to him about some other things about the Lord and laid my hand on him, was able to bless him. And boy, he smiled. He cheered up. And maybe that was it. That was part of my son. Do good to him. That was it. That was it. You're going to have assignments like every day of your life. Today. Be looking for it. But also be expecting it to come back to you. Oh, the goodness of God. The goodness of God. So if you're here today, you believer, I say to you, if you heard one piece of truth today that really sticking with you, I'd urge you to do this. Because we have a tendency to forget to write it down. Talk to God about it. Or even better yet, just come up here to this altar right now. Just stand somewhere and just for a few moments, just talk to God about what you just heard. He may give you more. Just do it right now. Don't wait for anybody. Come on. Come on. One piece of truth God spoke to your heart. Now come on up here and just talk to God about it. You don't need to go to an altar worker. They're here if you need prayer. Come on. Now just talk to God about it. You and God. Just you and God. One piece of truth. Now God, show me how to apply this to my life. Show me how this works.
Hallelujah.
Help me to be faithful with it.
Faithful, Father.
Thank you, Lord. And if you're done, fine. God bless you. We bless you today in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you, keep you, make His face to shine upon you. May you see His goodness everywhere you go. In the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Our visitors, stop by the front out there by the bookstore. We have a book we'd like to give you. That's our gift to you. Thank you for being with us. I'll be out there in just a few minutes. But thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here at this altar. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. If you need prayer for healing, come on up.